This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mitch and Finley, 1 o'clock. We got another hour, Grant and Danny after that. Tomorrow we're going to be at MGM. It's going to be dope. We're 8 days away from Nats opening day. That'll be dope. We're less than 24 hours now from the NCAA tournament coming. Denton Day has decided to grace us with his presence. Remember at Landfill, we used to get Denton once a week, and then he said we had to start paying him, right? Wasn't that the thing? He demanded a retainer, I believe.
Could you imagine if I started demanding money here? not how that works. I just stopped getting the text message. I don't know what happened.
I think you'd be better off, like, of places where you could demand money and expect it to get answered, where does a radio station rank?
Probably pretty low.
Yeah. I think you got a better chance.
Really low.
Like going into a fast food restaurant and just demanding food.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe like a grocery store, like a food bank.
Yeah.
I just walk into a food bank. I want money. They'd probably be more off to give me that than here.
So I don't want to lose this, and we have the audio, so then you're just going to have to bear with me here. Obviously, the Bengals have made a move to solidify their offense in that they paid Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins a lot. And so that leaves this like big dangling participle of what happens with Trey Hendrickson. And I was listening. I saw this on Instagram maybe. Albert Breer was on with Rich Eisen. And I thought Breer's response is pretty telling of where the situation is.
I can think of worse problems than having to pay Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that would be the thing is that you do have a lot of your resources allocated on one side of the ball. So now you're going to make it work on the other side of the ball. We'll see if they get Trey Hendrickson done. Logan Wilson, they did give a contract too. But, you know, if you look at the structure of those Colts teams back in the day, they paid Dwight Freeney, they paid Robert Mathis, they paid Gary Brackett, and then there was a lot of youth around those guys. That's what I think it's going to look like in Cincinnati going forward as a result of this.
And in 30 seconds or so, is Hendrickson possible? Do they have...
Yeah, I think it's possible. Yeah, I mean, I just... It's expensive now. It's gotten more expensive.
Yes.
You know, that's really the question. The guy had 35 sacks the last 2 years. I think the reason why he was the most available of the three and the reason why the Bengals let him go out and seek a trade is simply because of his age. He's 31 years old. The other two guys are in their mid-20s. To me, they looked at it and they said, this is the guy that we probably have to be most willing to part with. But they didn't want to part with any of them. You know, so we'll see if they can work something out. I think there's a way to get it done. They're going to try. They got some runway now to get something done there.
So there's a lot of interesting things there. I do think the Bengals' decision to go from Lou Anarumo to Al Golden is perhaps a nod towards being able to get young players to help right away. Golden just came from Notre Dame. He obviously can connect with rookies and young defensive players. Anarumo, I think, was kind of scapegoated in a lot of this, but one of the knocks on him was that guys weren't really developing from what was a really good defense that they just didn't pay guys to stick around. The bigger thing that matters for Washington fans is the Hendrickson thing. And my one real takeaway from that, when Breer said they've got some time, some runway on this, Hendrickson played last year without guarantee money on that deal. I can't imagine he would do it again. I think that's the undercurrent of the trade, at least the permission to talk about a trade. But that sure to me seems like nothing's going to happen until the draft. And then it'll depend on what kind of offers come draft time.
I wonder how hard-headed he is.
Who?
Hendrickson. Like, will he actually be the kind of guy that holds out into training camp? Because it's one thing, like, last year not playing with guaranteed money and not wanting to do that again. But we've seen guys, I mean, like, Myles Garrett broke. Now, they paid him $40 million, but he was like, nope, it's about winning, it's not about money. It's about winning, it's not about money. And they're like, hey, here's $40 million. You're like, all right, I can go $40 million as long as we don't have a quarterback. Like, we don't have a quarterback, it's fine. So I'm curious to see how he is going to be in terms of actually holding out. Because if they're going to call your bluff, then it doesn't really matter. And if you're willing to bluff, it doesn't really matter.
I don't think it's about him. I think it's about them. I think it's about we're not going to be able to spend a lot, so we need to draft really well. Do we want more bites at the apple? And you wait to draft time to drive it forward, and somebody misses the, you know,
the edge market.
But don't
you feel like as soon as the first round ends, it's like driving a car off the lot where the value for him in terms of trade partners goes down drastically for Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Because if right now they're asking for a first round pick, if that first round ends, there no one's giving you a 2026 first round pick.
It just doesn't mean it won't happen. I mean, when Trent Williams wasn't traded day one, go back in time, was that 21, 20?
Right. That'd be great for Washington, who maybe doesn't want to pay that price right now, that one and a third or whatever the rumor is, because as soon as that first round goes, you might be able to get him for like a four, like a three and a four, something along those lines. And I'm expecting Adam Peters to get a lot more draft picks than they currently have by the time we get to the draft, or as it goes on at least.
I mean, they're going to be desperate for it. If they allow themselves to get desperate, that's when it will occur. I keep getting people tweeting me, yo, what's up with the McLaurin contract extension?
It's March.
I can't imagine there's even real outside of like, hey, we got to talk. Like, I just think that now the NFL calendar is kind of free agency is coming and not gone, but the initial wave is over. There will be more people signed and more people, you know, in and off rosters. But now the focus is going to shift to the draft. You got pro days are happening at colleges. Soon you're going to have more and more of the 30 visits. Like the next wave of trades and whatever else might happen, I don't think much, if anything, will happen until draft week.
They're not really in a rut. Like, the Bengals were in a rush to get their contracts done because they wanted to make sure that nobody rose the price for Ja'Marr Chase again.
Well, and Higgins was sitting there on the tag, which screws you,
right? So, like, they had an incentive to get those deals done when they needed to. Terry's not really in a rush. You're not resetting the market. And I have a pretty good feeling, you know, I don't want to speak for either side, but I have a pretty good feeling both sides want to come to a conclusion. So as long as, like, he's not missing anything, there's no workouts or mini camps going on right now. So I'm not too worried about the Terry contract as of March 19th.
I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. All right. The topic at hand, I mean, that everybody's talking about is the NCAA tournament.
Right.
We haven't heard from Denton, who SiriusXM College Sports, man. I mean, that's what he does.
A little bit of gambling here and there.
Let's start with your Liberty Bibberty team. What are the Flames?
The Flames.
The Flames.
Fan the Flames.
Fan the Flames, Landfill. How do we feel about Liberty 5-12?
I mean, everybody loves a good 12-5 upset, right? It feels like that's the most bet and the most selected upset in all of the college basketball NCAA tournament. So I like Liberty. I haven't watched a lot of Oregon this year, but I love Richie McKay. I think he does a really good job. The contrast of styles is going to be unique. I always feel like that 12-5 and sometimes the 13-4. I think 13-4 is where a lot of the money is going to be this year, ultimately with upsets. But I always feel like
I think 12-5 has gotten to be too mainstream.
It's like way too mainstream. It was like really hip in 2017, and now everybody does it. So yeah. you gotta get on the 13-4, maybe 14-3 line. But I think they'll put up a good fight. It's redemption for that Fiesta Bowl that I had to sit through in Phoenix a couple years ago. So hopefully just ends up a lot better than that one did.
Oh, Wendy's here. Wendy blew me off earlier, said she was unavailable. Thanks for nothing, Wendy. Wendy's got a Wizards jersey on it?
She has a Wizards baseball jersey on, it looks like. Pretty fly.
Who do you like in general? What's your Final Four? What are your picks?
I imagine
you've spent a lot of time thinking about this.
No. Don't spend a lot of time. The more time you spend, the worse your bracket's going to look. That's how I'm not crunching numbers. I'm done with crunching numbers. You know how many years I've spent crunching numbers and looking at all these like in-depth analytics on KenPom offense versus defense and all that jazz? I'm done with that. I like Houston. I watch Houston play and I'm like, that team's really good. I like Houston. I don't believe that future Wizard Savior Cooper Flagg is fully healthy.
Yeah, he's probably not. Are you not concerned by Houston's can't shoot?
They're not a great shooting team.
Like, at the end of the day, you do have to score some
buckets.
To
score some points. But I have a feeling that LJ Cryer is going to – I think he's one of the few guys that has the takeover gene. You saw it a couple weeks ago. He has the takeover gene. He had like 30 in a game on a Sunday. I really like great guard play. I think guard play is what lifts teams in the NCAA tournament. Florida's going to be tough to beat, though.
Florida's going to be tough to beat. I wonder,
you got Maryland winning the whole thing?
No. I don't want to be – oh, I've said all along, I just want a Sweet 16. I just want another
week. Their draw stinks. Like, that side of the bracket is brutal to be on.
Especially once you get to the regional.
I think Coach K took them out of Duke's bracket. Everyone's been so focused on the Bubba Cunningham thing. I think Coach K still doesn't want Maryland and Duke to play. They should have been a Duke side.
You are the second person this week on this radio program to suggest that.
Yeah.
And the first person wasn't me.
Who was the first person?
Barstool Nate.
I mean, he is my SiriusXM coworker, so I should probably be nice to him, but he never comes to the events.
Barstool Nate works at Sirius?
Coach K does.
Oh, okay. It wouldn't shock me, dude. There's no way Arizona should be in the East.
No, they shouldn't.
And Maryland should be in the West.
Like, Maryland, you're flying, hilariously,
it
Maryland.
It just doesn't track.
Maryland and Liberty, who are about 200-ish miles apart, are flying to Seattle to play for, like, that doesn't make any sense. Yet somehow Louisville, who's an 8 seed, is going to play in Kentucky. Like, why on earth is Louisville getting a home game? If they beat Creighton, they're getting a home game against Auburn. That doesn't make any sense. Auburn's a top seed in this whole thing.
Dude, AU versus Mount St. Mary's, yeah. Which we looked up the distance of that. It's like about a 90-minute drive, I think.
Yeah.
They have to go to Ohio
to play. They got to go to Ohio, to Dayton. It doesn't make any sense.
My boy Kerwin plays rugby, and he gets in this big international rugby tournament every year. And his team here in D.C. is the Renegades, right? And he went to Italy for a rugby tournament. And they have various brackets. You win, you lose. Like, however, their final game in Italy was against their crosstown D.C. rival. Like, I feel like that's where we're headed here in this era of scheduling. You got Houston winning it all. So give me your Final Four.
Yeah, so I got Houston winning it all. I have Florida in the Final Four. I have Michigan State in the Final Four. And then I have Arizona in the Final Four. I have Arizona beating Duke in the Elite Eight just because I have the questions about Cooper Flagg and his health status. It does remind me a little bit.
Wouldn't Arizona have to be Duke in the Sweet 16?
Or Sweet 16, and then I guess I think I have them beating St. Mary's. I have St. Mary's over Alabama in the round of 32.
Oof.
I have Auburn losing to Creighton in the round of
32.
So
are you fading the SEC?
I am fading the SEC because as a guy that is a relative fan of the Big Ten – The conference that has the most teams in it usually has a really bad first
week. The Big Ten has, like, when they've gotten 10 teams in and 6 of them lose the first weekend.
In the first, like, 2 days.
Right.
And you're just like, what is happening? So I feel like the SEC is going to be, like, Georgia is a 9 seed. I ain't watched Georgia play. I think they have a losing record in the SEC, but they're a 9 seed.
Now, White Bryant, you're here to defend your SEC. He's an Auburn alum. We don't know what their mascot is, but he loves them. Yet another dude on here saying he's going to fade the SEC.
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable, but the Big Ten history makes sense.
How do you feel about Auburn's guards? What do you think they are?
They're a lot better than what they've been the past 5 years. I am a little worried with
the last... I think that joke went over his head.
...couple games.
I didn't even hear you. What'd you say?
About the guards when Bruce Pearl got on ESPN and says guards aren't one specific thing?
That's not even a joke. Nobody was going to get that. Landfill, does that count? That's a miss by Denton.
If you're an Auburn fan, you definitely saw Bruce Pearl get on ESPN and say his guards are not an expletive that you cannot say on television or radio. It was like mega viral for college basketball.
Hey, Landfill, apparently this mega viral moment, did you hear it? Are you aware of it?
No.
Jeff, mega viral, aware of it? Yo, Jeff is on these internet streets. Jeff lives on TikTok and Instagram reels. Jeff, did you see it or hear it?
I didn't see that.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
White Brian?
I saw it.
Thank you, White Brian.
He went to the damn Auburn.
He saved the day.
I kind of think I'm fading St. John's.
They're like Houston. They can't shoot. They can fight.
Right, but they can't shoot. They're not as good as Houston.
Yeah, they're not as good as Houston.
You know who's bad? San Diego State. Yeah. I've never seen a team take worse shots more consistently.
I turn that
one. That big fella, number zero. Listen, he clearly has some athletic gifts.
Right.
That's a raw basketball player.
Very, very raw basketball player. You're a better man than me if you watch the second half. When they had 19 points in 18 minutes, I was like, this is over. I'm going to bed.
My buddy came over. It was dumb.
I had UNC for a very hefty sum, and it cashed out.
All right. What do we like tonight? Any hefty sums to be made?
I don't know if I'm going to bet American. I don't know that I'm going to put a lot on American.
What, if I may... White Brian has informed us his average bet size is 20 cents. What is your average bet size, Dan?
Mine is not much greater, but it is great. It's about five to 10.
Okay.
5 to 10. You know, I'm not.
Landfill's kind of balling on his betting budget these days.
Landfill, what's your.
His standard unit seems to be $10 now.
Damn. High roller over here. Jeez Louise.
And what about you, Jeffrey? Is it. You? I mean, I don't know if when you bet. You're a hard man to. Pin down.
What did you just say?
It's hard for me to know how much you bet, how frequently.
Nah, you said you're a hard man to do what?
Pin down.
Oh, okay. I thought you said something else. I was like, JP, don't ever say that again to me.
What did you think I said?
I thought you said you're a hard man to bend down. I was about to say, yo,
get your head out of the gutter.
Stop
that. Pause,
but yeah, it depends. Like, if I know for a fact something is going to hit. I'll put a decent amount of money on it. Like, for instance.
The old one, he knows
when
something
I
for
know
a fact.
For a fact. It's going to hit. Fact. Are you betting, like, minus 300 odds? Like, how do you know for a fact it's going to hit?
I just get this feeling. Like, for instance, the last game I bet on, I put 10 bucks on it.
Damn. Baller.
High roller.
And it was the Wizards beating the Jazz. I just knew it was going to happen. I don't know why. I just got that feeling, and I took it.
I mean, what's your unit over here? $15 over there?
Mine is larger.
A little larger than $15. I have an idea. I'm not going to like put you on blast, but I have an idea because I gave you a bad weekend to college and you walked up to me and you like, I lost X amount of money. And I was like, I don't think I bet X amount of money in my gambling career.
My unit is larger. Pause, Landfill. yo, there is something that we haven't discussed in the basketball megaplex tonight. And it's important, Landfill. Washington Wizards are taking on the Utah Jazz. Both teams are terrible. Utah's 15-54. The Wiz are 15-52. Now, obviously, this isn't like the NFL, but this could kind of be the Cooper Flag Bowl tonight.
Yes.
These are the two worst teams in the NBA.
And Alex Saar right now is looking a little too Joe Milton-ish for the Wizards.
I think... Listen, man, I really like what Washington is building, that they compete. They compete hard.
They play
every game.
The young guys play really hard.
I think you bench some guys.
But,
tonight.
Like, can they chill?
Guys, well, there's a big picture here. We all bought in. I'm okay with it. But this is the Cooper Flag Bowl.
Like, Alex Saar's already breaking records. I want to see guys that I've never heard of off the bench.
I need everybody to chill tonight.
Give me a lot of Marcus Smart minutes.
Yeah. Now, Denton, you're welcome to hang out should you choose.
Oh, I'm here for the hour. Everybody else gets to sit in with you when B Mitch is gone, so it's my turn to have fun for an hour.
Who's everybody else?
Literally everyone but me, it feels like.
Okay, man. Hang out. That's fine with me.
I always get jealous.
You sound a little jealous. But hey, did you hear about those astronauts getting saved in space? Did you see any of that yesterday?
It came across the timeline.
You know what could save you serious space? My guys at Door Pro America. If you get your garage door replaced, man, it is going to make your garage such a better place. It has changed my life for the better. It is, seriously, it's silent. That's the absolute best part. There's a lot of things. They can cut down the size of, like, the actual door opener thing is 1/10 of my old crappy 1970s garage door. But the noise is the biggest difference. It is silent, man. And I come in and out that door. I got all ears tonight at NBC4. I usually get home like 9:30 or so. I don't have to mess with the front door anymore, waking the kids up. I just go in and out the garage every time, and it's awesome. My guys Shane and Vince from Door Pro America changed everything for us. They gave us a ton of options. Dude, the install was amazing. My garage looked way better than it did prior to their arrival. They're experts, man. They know what they're doing. We love the door. They're based locally. They've been doing it for over 50 years in the DMV. You should call them today. Ask how you can save $60 on a repair or $150 on a new garage door. 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO. Tell them JP Finley sent you, or you can check them out now, right now, at doorproamerica.com. B. Mitch and Finley, time to get smarter. Our friend Mr. Jeff Ehrman will be joining us in just moments inside Maryland Sports. Jeff, what up, man? How are you, buddy?
Hey, JP.
We're 24 hours away from the madness. Hell, now we're 22 and a half hours away from the madness. How excited are you? Let's start big picture. Man. How fired up?
This is the best time of the year for me. It has been ever since I was in, like, seventh grade, sneaking a little TV under my covers so I could watch the late-night game. So it gets no better than this, especially when you're covering a team that has a lot of excitement around it.
For sure, man. I couldn't agree more. Obviously, everybody should follow your work inside MD Sports. I follow your work. You are the preeminent Terps reporter for a long time now. I remember you broke.
Thank you.
You broke
likewise,
the damn...
likewise with your Commander's work.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. At Jeff underscore Ehrman. So let's get serious. Let's get down to business. Friday, 4 o'clock's coming. What do I need to know about Grand Canyon besides the fact that it's a fake college in Phoenix?
Huh. Yeah, it does feel weird even writing like Maryland versus Grand Canyon, but they're a little bit of a sleeper. They're one of the better low seeds, I would say, which fits for the West because the region is just absolutely brutal. You know, the biggest thing about them, I think, or biggest concern, I would say, is that they just have a ton of NCAA experience and overall experience. You know, they have guys who've been around forever. They have two of their top players are fifth year seniors. They played in the tournament last year and upset St. Mary's. You know, they've got a ton of experience, whereas Maryland, as good as they've been, most of these guys have not played in the tournament. So, you know, I could see Maryland coming out maybe a little jittery, whereas these guys should be pretty comfortable with all that experience. And then the other thing about them is, you know, they don't have the big guys and like Queen and Reese, so Maryland should be able to hit them pretty good in the paint, but they do have a lot of length, several 6'8", 6'7", kind of guys who've given some of Maryland's players trouble during the season. Jacoby Gillespie specifically, as you know, some of his off games have come against long guys who can stay in front of him. So, you know, they are dangerous, but again, you know, there's a reason Maryland's favored by 10.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to ask, it feels like the way this game should start is by feeding Queen and Reese on the inside, taking advantage of the one thing that Grand Canyon doesn't really have, which is size down low.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the game plan. Go inside early, try to get them in foul trouble and take advantage of them that way. Kick it out to the three-point shooters when they're open. Maryland's definitely a better three-point shooting team. I think Grand Canyon's only around 31% this year. So they do have some pretty big advantages. You know, despite all the positive things I said against Grand Canyon, this is a game that Maryland should win fairly comfortably as long as, you know, you avoid foul trouble or some of your guys have, you know, a clunker of a game that they have once in a while.
Yeah, I think foul trouble is my greatest concern because even in the clunker world, I think Maryland, the fact that all five of those starters can fill it up or four of them can fill it up and Juju can help you offensively, I would say. You know, if somebody's off, generally somebody else should be able to pick it up. And in that Michigan game, it took a while, right? They got down 15, but even in that thing, they were able to come back. I have a bigger picture. This kind of terrifies me, like an existential question. At some point, when the losses are all cataclysmic. Their last two losses are buzzer beaters. One's from half court. One's letting a guard go 90 feet in five seconds. Like, are we concerned about their ability to close out games? I've said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, there's no question. It's a concern. You know, you wonder if it's just fluky, those things have just happened an inordinate number of times randomly to them, or if that's part of their DNA that they don't close out games strong. I mean, they haven't lost a game all year by more than 6 points, I believe, and most of those were 3 or 4 point losses. All four of the last four losses came on buzzer beaters. So you do wonder if that's something that, you know, late in the game, execution-wise or whatever else, that's one thing I've been wanting to do is go back and watch the last 5 minutes of all those games, see what their field goal percentage is.
Don't do it, dude. Stuff. You want to claw your eyes out.
Yeah, it's just too busy right now with the tournament to go back and look at that. But that is definitely something that concerns you going into it, because so many of these NCAA tournament games, even high seeds versus low seeds, can come down to those final few minutes.
How deep do you think the rotation is going to get?
Not very. You know, I think it'll be basically what it has been. He does like to get some of those guys in early, I think, just to get the starters an early rest and keep them ready for late in the game. So he does bring in Geronimo and Deshaun Harris-Smith and Jay Young, usually, you know, well before the midway point of the first half. But once it gets late in the game, obviously you're going to go with the Crab Five, go with your starters and win or lose with the ones who brought you there. But, yeah, at this point in the season, obviously it's been established that the bench just is not – although I will say Jordan Geronimo has really emerged lately, and even if he's not scoring, he's consistently bringing energy off the bench.
And I got to say, I don't care. Like, I'm done with the bench conversation. These guys are 20 years old. They're as fit as they're going to be, and they get a five-minute break every 4 minutes.
Yeah, the NCAA tournament breaks are even longer, obviously, because they got to pay for those insane rights contracts that they have with the NCAA. So that helps. And then, you know,
those are their corporate champions, Jeff. Show some respect.
Okay, my bad. Corporate champions. They, you know, you have
to honor John Feinstein. We're pointing that S out every time this month.
That's right. They got one day between the first and second round, so that's really your spot right there where you're not getting a lot of rest. But then, you know, if you survive, you got a whole, you know, you get some time off.
How we feeling, dude? Let's have a real heart to heart. Nobody's listening. Talking with our guy Jeff Ehrman here. You can follow Jeff at Jeff_Ehrman, Ehrmann. He joins us on the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. How we all feeling here? Just you and me, a couple Terps talking it out. I think they should get to the Sweet 16. I think the Florida Gators are damn good. And I'm okay if this thing ends at the Sweet 16. I'm okay. I've made my peace. We're going to make it. How are you?
I think
feeling?
A lot of people have a similar mindset as you, just because Florida is pretty daunting. They're playing so well, won the SEC, you know, but the thing about them is, you know, their coach Todd Golden is obviously a young rising hotshot, but he's never been past the first round of the tournament. So you still got to
ask a serious question. Has Willard, he's done it once.
Once his record is 2-6 overall. So he's been past the first round twice.
Okay. Wasn't there one Sweet 16 at Seton Hall, or no?
I don't believe so. I should know that, but I think there were two wins, two separate years.
Okay.
So you know that he has not, but he has more experience at least. Golden does not have enough experience, but like you look at the Arizona coach, you know, the past few years they've been very highly ranked and went to the tournament and kind of flunked out. So that does matter. And you know, I think anything less in terms of just focusing back on Maryland, anything less than a Sweet 16, obviously, I think is a huge disappointment, just given that they've had this breakout season that's gotten all the fans back on the bandwagon. You know, you haven't been to a Sweet 16 in a while, so that's kind of at least a baseline expectation if you're going to call this season like a true breakthrough. And once you get there, obviously anything can happen. You know, they've got a ton. We know how talented they are. They have probably the best starting five in the country. And so, you know, I wouldn't say they're not capable of beating Florida, but I would say regardless of who they play in the second round, you know, a Sweet 16 should be a fair expectation of this year.
I agree with that. And then last one from me. for our friend Jeff Ehrman. Do you think Coach K called the NCAA and said, hey, you got to switch Maryland and Arizona? Because otherwise, why Arizona's in the East and Maryland's in the West makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, JP, I gave up on trying to figure out what the NCAA is thinking many years ago. If there's something that they can screw up, they probably will. I'm not sure what the reasoning was on sending them out West. And the funny thing is, you know, a lot of times if you get sent out West, you're like, okay, we win, come back, play, you know, in the East Coast, Midwest, or whatever. In this case, you're still out West in San Francisco. So, you know, that is definitely, that's a bad break for them. You know, I think their pass in the first two rounds is pretty advantageous, but having to travel out there and stay out there and not have as many fans if you were in, like, Providence or somewhere like that was definitely a little bit of a blow.
All right, last one. I as we've seen college football just say bleep you to the NCAA and kind of do their own thing, is there a world where that happens in college hoops, or does NCAA kind of keep their control?
I think there's a world. I mean, a lot of people have mentioned that possibility of it just being like a power conference tournament. And normally I would say no chance, because that's obviously one of the big parts of the charm of the NCAA tournament is having Grand Canyon and Akron and all these random schools in every year making runs. I think that would almost ruin the tournament for me if you just had power conferences in it. But with the way everything's going all toward the money and becoming, you know, so professionalized, such a business, I'll never say never.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. I am fired up to watch the Crown College Basketball Tournament as well. So,
Oh, yeah. Big time. You got your brackets on?
Yeah. All right, dude. You're going to be busy. Who's this guy you keep teasing about them recruiting every day? The local
Which
guard.
One? There's a few.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a few guys on. I actually just posted something on the site. They got a couple transfer portal guys that are very interested in them. The portal actually doesn't officially open till Monday, so you can't officially say.
That
you know,
is awful.
That.
They open the transfer portal during March Madness?
Yeah, it's just like in football, it opens before the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
So you have these teams that are playing, and some of their players are considering leaving. There's guys who want in, but they can't host them on a visit because they're playing in the playoffs. So that goes back to pretty much what I said about the NCAA a minute ago.
You're going to lose Queen. You're going to lose Reese. You know, we'll deal with that later. I'm not even thinking about that. I'm thinking about thinking about Grand Canyon's fake-ass college. Jeff, thank you for the time, brother. Always appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me.
All right. Follow Jeff Ehrman. Trust me, at Jeff underscore Ehrman, E-R-M-A-N-N, Terps, Friday, 4 o'clock. Lock it up. When we come back, we're going to make some bets. Who had Axl Rose as perhaps the world's preeminent solo whistler? You heard this, Jeff?
Not at all.
It's a banger, dog. What's your Guns N' Roses file, Jeff?
Oh, very little to none. More so on the none side.
Can you name a song?
No, but I can probably, if I hear one, I probably could be like, oh, okay.
There's
I know
one,
this song
that you 1,000% have heard. Play WTG, Landini. You've heard this.
Yeah, it's at every sporting event ever.
Oh, yeah, I know. This is just about a guitar riff.
Yeah, it's Welcome to the Jungle.
It's everywhere.
You in the jungle, baby. You gonna die.
Oh, yeah.
Now you gotta let it play. The show's gonna end before we say anything. It's just GNR. When you guys have this title, the final segment, JP listened to Guns N' Roses.
JP teaches Jeff about Guns N' Roses.
Jeff, this slaps. We also convinced Jeff that the next time he's DJing at the club, he's going to close it out by playing the Eastern Motors theme song. I think people will dance to that, dude. I'm serious.
Yo, I'm going to record it this weekend.
Yes.
And I got you.
I am so hype about that.
He walked into our studio earlier when I was doing Kevin's show, and he walked in. He's like, I'm testing your DMV. And then he just started. He was like, finish that lyric of Eastern Motor. And Brian did not get it.
Yes.
I got it.
Which Brian?
Brian on 980.
old.
Black Bryant. I'll say it for you. Black Bryant.
It's getting really hard to keep up with all the
there
Bryants.
There are a lot of Bryants here. There's three
Jeff,
Bryants.
I told you, I can't. He's 980 Bryant.
He is 980 Bryant.
So I got to say 1067 Bryant for B-Hawk?
Nah, he's white
no,
Bryant.
No, he is white Bryant.
You also weirdly tried to make like a jelly bean thing there for a minute. I didn't know what that was about. You know this one, Jeff?
Yeah.
So,
I wanna be
clearly his Guns N' Roses file is much bigger than we're going.
Won't you please?
Yeah, I don't know the words, but I know the cadence.
Grass is green and the girls are pretty. G and Har, man, they rock. I guess let's make some bets. All right. White Brian, what do you got?
Jeff and JP lost.
You know this one, too. Craig and
Don't you dare look back.
Wait, what?
No.
Is that the song?
This is my six-year-old's favorite song. She loves loud rock.
Oh, yeah. And
you
this
know this,
is,
though. This is kind of...
From the Step Brothers.
Yes.
Ain't this that song?
Yep.
She got eyes.
There you go. Yeah. She got. Oh, we all jumped it. All right, Brian, go, dude.
Jeff and JP lost. Everyone else won. I'm taking Xavier minus 2.5.
B-Mitch loses today, officially, just so we're clear. Correct?
Yes.
Dang, I was about to take Xavier, too, man.
Yo, shout out to the locals. Mason plays tonight in
Give
the
me
NIT.
Texas.
Yesterday! I saw Guns N' Roses, Metallica, and Faith No More at RFK Stadium. Like, I mean, you could look up what year that was. It was probably 90 or something.
Yes, things that I always see.
Book of memories.
I'm taking Texas.
Texas side's tough. That line's been moving the wrong way. I'm guess picking for B-Mitch. I'm taking the Grizzlies lane 4.5.
That does not count. So
yeah, that don't count.
Why not?
Nobody's a bigger hard ass about if you're not here, you can't win a bet than B-Mitch.
Right.
Nobody's a bigger hard ass than B-Mitch, period, about life. Let alone the betting rules. I'll take the under. Xavier,
also
Texas.
Parlaying mine with Colorado Avalanche to win.
You know what? These aren't real bets. I'm taking AU. Give me the Eagles, dude. Or actually, White Brian, can I just bet the Eagles in the 16-16 play-in game?
No.
I got all Eagles.
I got I'll all give you the Eagles. Over.
What are you taking?
I'll give you the over if you want both Eagles.
I'll take the under in AU Mount St. Mary's. And that, folks, is a solo show. Denton, thank you for hanging out, man.
Yeah,
it was
of course,
fun.
Man. It was fun.
Good to see you. Remember when Denton used to come on with us regularly and then just started blowing us off? Very much enjoyed the Guns N' Roses final segment here. Thank you to Neil Greenberg for joining us. Thank you to Ben Fox for joining us. Thank you to Jeff Ehrman for joining us. This time tomorrow, it's going to be me and B-Mitch live in a casino where they have copious amounts of alcohol and college basketball on the screen. Trust me, you should be there. We'll be there the next 2 days. Grant and Danny coming your way next. You made it this far. White Brian owes you a dog mom cup.